The Guardian.
If you could give the book of your choice to anyone, historical or contemporary, which book would you choose? And who would you give it to? That's the question we're putting to our favourite authors in their favourite bookshops. This podcast is presented in association with National Book Tokens.
I'm David Gentleman, I'm an artist, and now we're in Primrose Hill Bookshop, a lovely, small, independent bookshop, almost directly across the road from Primrose Hill itself. The book I've received is The Last Pre-Raphaelite by Fiona McCarthy, and it's the biography of Edward Burne-Jones, the famous Victorian painter, an interesting figure poised someplace between being a distinguished, renowned painter, but also a designer of stained glass tapestries, furniture, and the illustrator of the famous Kelmscott Press Chaucer, which was published by his great friend and working companion throughout most of his life, William Morris. It changed my mind about Burne-Jones quite a lot. I've never been a particular aficionado of his paintings because I find that the women who figure in them, whether in medieval gear or in the portraits he painted of his many women friends, then they're not instantly my cup of tea. They're almost uniformly solemn, soulful, rather mournful in their faces, and I've never thought how wonderful to take one of them out. But I think that as a craftsman and a definitely serious painter, he was extremely distinguished. There were one or two iconic pictures of his that live in my mind, even from my school days. One is King Cophetua and the Beggar Maid, and the other is the Golden Stairs, where a lot of women are descending a magnificent flight of stairs. The picture is very definitely upright. It's probably three times as high as it is wide. And what Burne-Jones was very good at was at coping with such compositional exigencies, just as when he was designing stained glass, he made the structure of the stained glass itself as a window, the fact that it needed very heavy, dark strips of lead to separate the panels, so that these become a kind of inline version of the picture that he was doing. And many artists might regard that as a curse to be born, whereas he made it into a pattern and a virtue. The book I'd like to give to someone else, to a historic figure, is Man with a Blue Scarf by Martin Gayford. This is the story of Gayford's long, fascinating process of having his portrait painted by Lucian Fried. It's fascinating, acute, sometimes gossipy, and it's always entertaining. And I think Freud comes out of it, not that he needs this book to make him so, a really wonderful, marvellous painter, particularly of people, but of anything. People, nudes that he preferred to call naked portraits, of his mother, John Minton, self-portraits, pictures of horses, dogs, eggs, garden details, and occasionally etchings from other painters that he admired. One is of Chardin's famous, beautiful picture of a young schoolmistress teaching her child, and Freud etched a lovely version of this. I think that this is a wonderful and beautiful book, and the one or two phrases stick in my mind from it, things that Freud said. He said, every good painting has to have a little poison. And something that I note as someone who draws myself, he said, the only secret I can claim to have is concentration, and that's something that can't be taught. And I think that's absolutely true. And the person, if he were still around, I'd like to give it to, is Walter Sickert, who is another remarkable portraitist, because I think he'd be interested at what a successor has done. I think Sickert would be interested in what gradually became, over Freud's life, the change from being a very meticulous painter of every hair, every individual eyebrow, to becoming a much freer and, I think, more powerful painter later on as he matured, but never becoming slapdash. I think he remained remarkably in control of what he was doing, and he certainly took enough time over it. Even Martin Gayford was getting very anxious for the process, for the picture to be finished at the end of his year-long exercise in sitting for him. But a remarkable and intimate study of Freud comes out at the end of it. I doubt if Sickert had been there to be aware of it, I doubt he'd have done anything different, because he was very much he was a determined man in his own manner. But I think that he would have felt an affinity with the catholicity of Freud's choice of subjects and his great individuality. My own new book is called London, You're Beautiful, An Artist's Year. I did it last year, within the 12 months following the year through from January to December. It's the places that I know and like, some that I don't like at all, but I don't think that disapproving of something necessarily means that it's not beautiful.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.